The 49ers will be playing this weekend without Christian McCaffrey, Debo Samuel, and George Kittle. If you're just joining us, George has been listed as doubtful. Pretty much means he's not playing. Here's Kyle Shanahan today talking about Charvarius Ward and George Kittle this week.
Him and Charvarius, they were sore after practice, like a number of guys are. I mean, they came in Thursday morning and were still sore, and it was still today with Kittle. So it's the severity of it.
Okay, so still today with Kittle, and so they did not practice. Charvarius did. Nick Bosa did. They've both been listed as questionable. That's our situation. What do you think we're going to see from Brock Purdy is the question at 888-957-9570. And I'll tell you this. I want to make sure with the way I'm reacting today, and there's more. Wait till you hear all this.
Right, right. I have a question, though, first about like his injury report coming out of the game. There was no George Kittle. So George Kittle was not on the injury report out of the game. The only name was Debo Samuel.
It happened on Wednesday. Happened on Wednesday at practice.
So he got sore Wednesday at practice, or his hamstring got tweaked Wednesday at practice?
I guess so. He went hard on Wednesday, came in sore Thursday.
Okay.
Nick Bosa got a rib injury in practice. Charvarius Ward, a hamstring injury in practice.
Okay.
That all happened on Wednesday and Thursday.
That, to me, is as troubling as the Debo. Like, we saw Debo get hurt, and he took a knee on the last play. And okay, Debo got hurt in a football game. But you've got guys now getting hurt in practice in week three. To me, that's a problem. That's a problem. Either you're practicing too hard, or they're not ready for the season.
Well, I don't know what to say about that. I hear you. I always hesitate when it comes to dudes' bodies and how it plays out. And we watch this. When injuries pile up, we start to go, oh, the strength and conditioning guy, or the way you're going about it, or is the coach telling him to go hard, or is the player deciding to go that hard? Is it just one of those damn things? I just don't know. I don't know how to quantify and qualify that. I really don't.
I'm not trying to judge the practice strength and conditioning person. I'm not trying to judge how hard they're going. I'm just simply saying, when you have guys getting hurt in week three at practice, that's a problem. So either your practices are too hard, or the players aren't ready, or this is just one of those like fluky things. But I do know this. You've got a team that is getting older. You've got guys who are coming up on being 30. So when you've got a team full of guys who are coming up on being 30 and now they're getting hurt in practice, that's not a good thing.
No, none of this is good. 49ers are beset by injuries. So,
but if you get hurt during a football game on Sunday, okay, well, fine. You get hurt during a football game, I get that. If you get hurt during practice, that to me is a little bit more curious.
I don't know if you get to choose. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Like, to be an athlete, to run around out there, it's just like you or me. Like, I know people, you know, you like all of a sudden you run into them out and about and they've got a cast on, or they're on some little wheelie scooter through the grocery store.
Right.
And you're like, what happened? And they're like, I stepped off a curb, or I was taking a shower. Like, it doesn't have to be a sexy injury. Like, you get them when you get them. The body yells at you when the body yells at you.
But those are people who are not professional athletes.
I know, but again, you know, like I understand that you're being hit harder in a game, but I don't know that most injuries happen because of hits. I actually don't know that. Someone's probably got the data on that. The worst injuries are actually called non-contact injuries.
Dre Greenlaw.
Yeah. There's a great example. Yep. Was that in the game? Or was that just a person walking off of the sideline?
Well, he did a split step to run on the field, and kapow. And even the Nick Bosa ACL from a couple of years ago, that was just him and the turf. And he was not contacted yet, and he collapsed.
Yeah, on bad turf.
Jimmy Garoppolo, ACL. He planted his foot to do, you know, to make a cut where he should have gone out of bounds, maybe. And boom, ACL, gone. So I get that. But for me, when it happens in practice, it makes me like scratch my head at, like, what's going on here?
Everyone wants a bigger sample size with Brock Purdy. No issue with it. Nobody thinks he's the best quarterback in the game. No issue with it. Like, I don't think that. I don't think that he's perfect. I don't think that this weekend is going to be, like, the best game he's ever played. I think Brock Purdy will continue to be Brock Purdy, which is a pretty damn good quarterback who's accurate. My question is actually this. It's not, and I know maybe it sounds like this, like I'm pleading with the world to love Brock. I'm pleading with the world to stop saying things that aren't true. You're winning despite Brock Purdy. He doesn't put up stats. Patrick Peterson is on the morning show saying that Brock doesn't throw outside the numbers. Funny. First touchdown pass he threw last year was from 30 yards out, and it was in the corner of the end zone to Brandon Ayuk against Patrick Peterson. So, Patrick, you should know that he can throw outside the numbers because he did it on you. And actually, I'm looking at his passing charts right now, and there are tons. The field is dotted with balls that are outside the numbers. So that's what I'm trying to break down. I want to figure out why these perceptions that are provably false continue to come out of the mouths of people who know football. Patrick Peterson knows football. Kirk Morrison knows football. They played the game. How on earth are you saying things that are provably false? That's what I don't get. Draftism, I understand.
There it is.
The size, I understand. Well, but that's different. Draftism to me is about the lack of belief. And also about, like, you're going to make the staircase steeper for him to climb. I don't think it means that we get to just start making stuff up that we think happened on our TV sets that didn't happen. Like, where is that from? He can't throw outside the numbers. What are you watching? Did you watch his drive against the Packers in the playoffs? Where did he hit Chris Conley? Toe tapper, 25 yards down the field. What? Like, I don't know. Like, there's stats, there's data that shows these comments are wrong.
Oh, and these are people who, in general, probably aren't watching it as closely as we are, and so you have your preconceived notions, and if you want to talk about the stats, and, you know, Brock Purdy, they're doing it despite his stats, and you look at last year where he led the league in 9 of 18 major categories, including QB rating, it seems to me that the stats were pretty much in his favor, and he threw for more yards than any other quarterback in 49er history. So when you look at that, which is a stat, you would think about that being, okay, something that he probably did right. If the stats are that good, it can't only be all the weapons around him and Kyle Shanahan.
Well, and he leads the league in passing yardage right now. So I'll give you the linebacker I want to listen to. It's Fred Warner, who has repeatedly said, Brock Purdy's the reason we've got a chance. That feels to me like someone saying we're winning because of Brock, not despite him.
Right.
Let's go to Jason in Oakland. Jason, thank you for calling Willard and Dibs. Really, really appreciate it. How are you?
What's going on, Willard? What's going on, Dibs? Hey, you hitting the nail on the coffin, man. We are tied. The dude Kirk was hating. He's a Raider fan. Let's put the rat on the table with him. He's a Raider fan, so he's going to hate on anything about the Niners. He's not going to tell the truth. Secondly, a lot of these guys, and I don't want to be sounding funny with them, but a lot of these guys do not watch the 49ers. They hate the 49ers. 49ers have been beating them. Our team is loaded. They probably play on a garbage team, or they barely making the playoffs. So they ain't going to have too many positive things to say about Purdy. And another thing is, just like you said, the stats show it. These guys sometimes it just be hate. It don't be the numbers. It be a guy just be mad because he just like, oh, he playing for a good team. They got a good franchise. They fans show up. It's loud when they play. They getting all this notoriety. They playing on Monday night. They playing on Thursday night. They, you know, and these guys is playing in cold weather. They just be hating. Purdy's going to be here for a round. And another last thing I want to say to you guys is, next year, George Kittle will be gone, Debo will be gone, and McCaffrey. Remember I said it.
Next year?
Okay. There it is.
Next year.
Why do you think that?
Let me say this. Yeah. They're going to pay Purdy. McCaffrey is injury prone. We gave him a good 3 years. Debo, we know that he's going to pull a calf muscle every year. Every year. And Kittle is getting old. Just think, guys. Them three is gone. I promise you. Just remember, Jason said it. McCaffrey is gone. We got it. We got our 3 years out of him. You see, he's not even going to play this season. Remember, I said that he's not playing this season.
Well, you might be right on that. I got no predictions on that.
Just mark the tape for Jason.
Yeah, go Jason.
Mark it.
Here's what I'll say, because I have no idea what's going to happen next year. If that's true, though, the 49ers just made next year a lot harder on themselves because they just gave Christian McCaffrey extra money on his contract. They just reworked Deebo Samuel's contract to make it more expensive for them to let him go at the end of this offseason. And let me check where George Kittle is at. Kittle will be going into the final year of his contract next year. Yes, he is signed through 25 and voidable after that. So maybe. I doubt that all three of them are going
to
be gone.
Well, they got the cap room to eat all three if they wanted to.
Sure.
I mean, they've got the most cap room in football. So if they wanted to go that route, they could. But I don't know where the next tight end is. You could look at wide receiver and say, yeah, you got wide receivers in the hopper who could maybe replace Deebo, and you look at a running back who you hope might be able to replace CMC if you want to go that route. I don't think that all three will be gone at the end of this year, but it's a long year, and if McCaffrey is out for, well, we know he'll be out for at least five games and could be longer, and now Kittle's doubtful, and he probably won't play on Sunday, and Deebo is going to be out for a couple of weeks, so what are we looking at for this year alone?
So Patrick Peterson says Brock doesn't throw outside the numbers. Kirk Morrison says we want more stats and the Niners to win because of Brock, not despite him. And then there was this from Colin Cowherd today.
Basically, Brock Purdy and the San Francisco weapons have gone from stacked to normal. They still have a great offensive head coach and the best left tackle in football and a dominant number one receiver, Brandon Ayuk, number three PFF receiver last year, and a good second receiver in Jennings. So they'll just be normal this weekend. By most standards, they'll have a normally weaponized offense. But that's what franchise quarterbacks are about. It's not about winning when you have the best hand in poker. It's about winning when you're missing a right tackle and your number one receiver. No Deebo, no Christian McCaffrey, and no Kittle. We all know you'd need those guys to win a Super Bowl. But against the dinged up Rams, I don't care where the game's being played, Brock Purdy should be okay. You should not need an abnormally stacked roster to be excellent.
But wait, there's more.
Anybody, when you have Christian and Kyle and Trent and Kittle and Deebo and Ayuk, it's a layup drill. I know you all think I'm anti this and anti that. I'm not anti Brock Purdy, but, you know, he does feel a little bit like a trust fund kid. You know, he basically gets all the gifts. I mean, it's like Magic Johnson got Kareem. Okay, but then Magic Johnson, that rookie year, Kareem gets hurt, he has to play center. Okay, that's fine. But most people don't inherit Kareem in his prime. I'm not saying that some trust fund kids aren't hard workers and wouldn't have done well without the trust fund, but it helps a lot, right? You know, that money coming in every month. When you inherit Deebo and Ayuk and Kittle and Trent Williams and Kyle, I'm just trying to contextualize this a little.
The trust fund kid thing got you.
Yeah, it did. It did because, I mean, it's not really the same thing trust fund wise unless he goes out there and suddenly now he's cut off from the trust fund. And the trust fund in this analogy is Deebo and Christian and George. And if he goes out on Sunday and he shows that he's nothing without the trust fund and he's out of money and he can't get a job and now he's out on the street and he looks terrible, then I wouldn't necessarily agree with Colin after 1 week, but I look at what Brock Purdy has done and I don't think that it's primarily or only because of Shanahan and George and Deebo and Christian. I do think that he was a little bit overly dramatic in assessing Brock Purdy. Yes, Brock Purdy's had a lot and his parents got him a really good car and he's got a college fund that he doesn't have to worry about working through high school to earn enough money to pay for his own college and all the rest of it. It doesn't mean that he can't be a good student, right? It doesn't mean that he's totally a trust funder.
Well, what gets me is the concept that because there are really good teammates and that's acknowledged, of course, I'm not going to say that, for instance, Brock Purdy's job and Bryce Young's job are the same. I'm not going to say that. But what gets me is when people, and he really, you could tell he was starting to flirt with it, when you call Brock Purdy's job easy. Football's not easy.
Right.
I don't care who your teammates are or who your play caller is. There are multiple 300-pound behemoths trained to get you constantly coming your way, concepts are very, very intricate, and the whole thing is built after a week of all of these people watching film on how to beat you, and then they come after you. And you're supposed to just calmly do this job. And he started to say it when he used the word anyone. Anyone can quarterback this right. team. No, they can't. We've tried. Now, I know maybe not since Christian's arrival, but that's one player. That's one player. Lots of people in sports have had good rosters that then don't work. I remember when Vince Young called the Philadelphia Eagles a dream team, missed the playoffs. I remember when the Lakers got Dwight Howard and their five starters were on the cover of Sports Illustrated. 8 seed, swept in the first round by the Spurs. You can't just be good because you have names. You have to operate. You have to be a family. You have to be effective. Here's the real one. You have to be good. You have to be good. And he is proven good. I don't know about great. I don't know about Super Bowl. I don't know about $60 million. I'm with all of you. Let's see what happens. But this idea that we're still waiting for Brock to put up stats when he literally has the most prolific quarterback stats, I won't call it season, but most prolific quarterback stats as a quarterback in one season in the history of one of the most storied organizations in the game. That I you can't just do that because you have teammates and a good coach.
Right. And you could do that when you have good teammates and a good coach. And then now this week you have a good coach and you don't necessarily have good teammates. And I think that that's where a lot of these comments are coming from, where now it becomes a bigger question about Brock Purdy. And yes, he had a great year last year and he led him to a Super Bowl and his winning percentage has been unbelievable, but he's had Christian almost always. He's had Debo almost always, a couple of games here and there, and those are the games that he lost, by the way. He's had George Kittle for almost every game, and so now you don't have George, Debo, or Christian, so I do think that it's fair to, and I don't think that Kirk Morrison and Colin Cowherd necessarily did it in the right way. I think that they're going too far. It's a little bit too dramatic, but I do think it's fair to look at this game and say, okay, Brock, not that this is make or break, but this is a game where you look at Brock Purdy and you could say, all right, Brock, now you don't have three of your top four weapons. Let's see what you look like in a vacuum. And sure, this is kind of what we've talked about for, you know, for years, not years, but months and months about the future of Brock Purdy when these guys are all gone, when, you know, they're off the team, they're aged out, and then Brock's making $60 million. This is kind of an early look at what that might look like when it's Brock Purdy as the man and you don't have anybody else around him.
Let's go to Fabian in Maryland. Hi, Fabian. Thank you so much for calling. What's up?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I'm excited about this weekend to see what Brock can do. This is kind of like one of those games that'll be a test for him. And I won't be upset if he doesn't have a great performance, but I will be, you know, disappointed if, you know, he has a bad performance. But I really think what I want to see from Brock is him use his legs more. I mean, looking at that Vikings game, there were so many opportunities for him to just move the chain. There was definitely one where he held onto the ball looking for somebody, and I thought he could have got 10 yards, maybe 8 if the defense closes in. But so many opportunities where it was like 2 yards, 3 yards, 4 yards, he could have picked up just by using his legs. So, and I think we'll need that when we have guys down and you have less options to get the ball to. I think we're going to need him to do some things with his legs. And I'm honestly looking at Kyle. I don't think this will happen, but his third down play call, and I have to get better. But my main thing that I'm looking for this weekend is to see Brock use his legs some more.
Fabian, thanks. I'm certainly not against it. Obviously, this is going to be, you know, usually it's like all hands on deck. This is like all aspects on deck. Like whatever you've got, whatever you have in your holster, you got to bring it out. And so if that's Brock's legs, if that's Jordan Mason, you know, if that's going downfield to Jacob Cowing, I know John Lynch said today, Cowing might be in this game plan. That's intriguing to me. Yeah, I have a lot of hope. Not that Brock needs to score 30 points, doesn't need to throw for 300. I don't need it to be sparkling. I really am excited, though, because it is my belief that Brock Purdy is still going to function. He is still going to function because he's the perfect fit for Kyle. The plays are going to be called. They're not going against a great team.
Right.
And he's going to be able to operate.
He should. And ultimately, for me anyway, the barometer is the win. Go out there and win the game, because I just looked at the spread and it's still 6.5, even though Kittle now is doubtful, which means he's out. No Debo, no McCaffrey, no Kittle. And also, Bosa is questionable and Charvarius Ward questionable. I think that they both will play. I can't speak to how they're feeling, but I would imagine that they're going to play come Sunday, and the game is now less than 48 hours away. But for me, the barometer is not Brock's numbers. It's about the win or the loss, because you're still heavily favored in LA in a game that's not really a road environment. You probably won't have to go silent count very often, if at all. And you've got enough guys around you to where you should still be able to win the game.